Hey guys, thank you so much for joining us for the NCC podcast. God is doing so many great things in our community, and I trust that He's doing great things in your life as well. And I trust that God is going to speak to you through this message.
Well, for those of you, this is your first time or your first time in a long time, my name is Philip, and that beautiful lady you just saw here on the platform, that is my wife, Destiny. And we are the lead pastors here at North Point Community Church. And here at North Point Community Church, we have a mission, don't we?
Yes.
And that mission is creating Christ-centered, culture-changing community. And I want to thank you for being a part of this community. You have done so many amazing things this year, but as you just heard in the announcement, we have another opportunity. Heroween is coming up, and it is an awesome opportunity to be a blessing to our community. I encourage you, sign up to serve on that day, bring some candy, be a part of reaching our community with a lot of fun and hopefully with the good news of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Well, here at North Point in 2022, we have said that this is our year to
advance.
That's right. This is our year to advance. And I can tell you that if you are going to advance this year, which means to move forward in a purposeful way, so if you're going to move forward on purpose and with purpose, if you are going to make progress, then you are going to need to know the secret of the power of reset. Because it's not that we don't know where we want to go. It's not that we don't want to end up there. So many times we don't know how to deal with what happens between the start and the finish. And we need to know, how do I reset where I am to get where I really want to go? And so that's why we're in a series right now entitled Reset as we head into the fall, because we might have set our direction at the beginning of this year. There were some things that we wanted to accomplish, some things that we wanted to do, and they haven't been done yet. But here we are in September, and it is time for us to reset for these last few months so that we can achieve and accomplish what it is that we set out to. And so in this series of reset, we've been looking at the definition of the word, and there's two definitions that we've been talking about. The first is to set again. To set again. This is like setting a broken bone. We could call this is a hard reset. And maybe there are some things in your life that are completely broken. Maybe there are some things in your life that have been totally devastated and are destroyed, and you really need a hard reset. That is possible, but most of the time we need the second definition, and that is just to set or adjust or fix in a new or different way. This is the resetting of your priorities, the resetting of your focus, the resetting of your goals. And resetting is so important. Why? Because life happens, right? Life happens. Everyone in this room has had the opportunity in 2022 to be offended by somebody. Everybody in this room has been disappointed by somebody. Everybody in this room has been disappointed by themselves. Right? We've all been hurt. We are tired and we are weary. We understand that. And we've been talking about that over the last few weeks. Because these things have happened, we need to reset and move into the future. But there's something else that we need to bring our attention to. And it is that some people's challenge is not just that they've been hurt and they've been offended, but some people's challenge is that they have also had great success. Because sometimes dealing with success is harder than dealing with failure. And the reason why is sometimes when we get the thing that we prayed for, we stop praying. And we stop seeking God and we get off track. Listen, not because we were wounded, but because we won. Not because of our misery, but because of our victory. Listen, I spent the decades of my life coaching football and had the opportunity to coach a lot of great teams and championship teams. And there's one thing that teams do after every game, and that is that the coach will watch the game on film with his team. They will go back and they will watch the game play by play. And now let me tell you, there is a difference, and I would say that there is a great separator when it comes to this between good teams and great teams. And the difference between good teams and great teams is not how they watch the losses, but how they watch the wins. Because it is much easier to identify and address the problems in a loss. But here's what I've learned is that there are always weaknesses in the win. And the temptation is to skip the correction for the sake of the celebration. In the face of a win, the temptation is to skip over the correction because you don't want to dampen the celebration. Because there's so much excitement around the win, and I don't want to take away from the excitement. I don't want to take away from the celebration. So whenever I see the thing that I should bring correction, I will kind of turn my head a little bit and pretend as if it is not there, because I don't want to dampen the mood of the room. I don't want to steal from the celebration, so I skip the correction. And I can tell you that is the difference between great teams and good teams. Because whenever you start stacking up wins in athletics, right, you start stacking up wins and you start watching yourself rise up in the polls and higher rankings and you start reading the press clippings about how good you're doing and all the potential that you have, then you start listening to your fans and they're talking about, oh man, we're doing so good, we're so talented, we got such a great team this year, and you're listening to those things and then you start believing those things, inevitably you will start overlooking your weaknesses. And eventually, you will stop doing what brought you the success in the first place. You will stop paying attention to the details that allowed you to be successful. You will stop paying attention to the fundamentals that actually brought you the success in the first place. Listen, what happens in football also happens in life. And that is, we stop doing what we know we need to be doing. We stop doing what we know we need to be doing. Now listen, there's always a reason. And many times there's a good reason. And I say reason because we don't like the other word, and that is excuse. Right? But there's always a reason why we stop doing what we know we need to do in our marriage. But I mean, we don't need to go to counseling every month anymore, because after all, we're doing really good right now. Maybe I don't need to meet with my leaders every week in my business, because, I mean, business is really humming right now. I mean, we're really trying to. Maybe we don't need to do that anymore. Maybe I don't need to watch what I eat and go to the gym like I'm going. Maybe I don't need to do, I mean, because after all, I mean, I'm doing really good right now. Maybe I can make some changes and it will still be okay. And we stop doing the thing that we know we need to do in these critical things of life. I see momentum is funny. Momentum is a funny thing, because it can be your best friend or your worst enemy. It can be your best friend because it can accelerate success. Oh, we know what it is to be in a football stadium, and man, the crowd starts cheering and momentum. You know, Big Mo shows up, you know, and Big Mo can just cause a team to just play better than they've ever played before. Momentum is a funny thing. It can accelerate your success and take you to new heights. But you know what momentum can also do? Momentum can also hide your weaknesses. That's why it can also be your worst enemy. And then it forces you into this thing, what I call riding off reserve. You start riding off reserve. For a period of time, you can ride off reserve. Although things look good and they might even feel good, here is the reality. The reality is it's not going to be good, because you are running out of what it takes to keep running. And momentum is just carrying you, and wow, I mean, my marriage, it looks good and it feels good. My business looks good and it feels good. My health looks good and it feels good, but I'm not doing the good that I know I need to be doing. And what I'm doing now, I'm riding off reserve, and sooner or later, it is going to run out. What I need to keep running is going to run out, and then I'm going to be left in a place that I didn't want to be, and listen, a place that I did not have to be. Because if I would have kept paying attention to what I knew I needed to be doing, I would have never ran out of what I needed to keep doing it. You see, this is another reason why we need the practice of reset in our lives. It's not just for the bad days, it's for the good days. It's not just for the seasons of misery, it's for the seasons of victory. We need to understand that every single day, no matter how tough it's going or how great it's going, we must reset. We must fix, we must adjust, we must tweak for the purpose of staying in the race, because I want to win the race and I don't want to run out of what it takes to win in the end. So whether it's good or bad, reset is still a powerful principle that we all need in our lives. And last week we talked about reset our seek, right? To reset our seek. And today we're just going to continue on that same train of thought. How do we reset our seek? This is what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 in the Amplified Version this week. He says, "But first and most importantly, seek." Everybody say seek. He says, seek. He says, aim at or strive after his kingdom and his righteousness, his way of doing and being right, the attitude and character of God, and all these things will be given to you also. Jesus says, hey, first, number one, most important thing that you need to do with your life is you need to seek God, and you need to seek his kingdom, which means that you will seek his way of doing and being right. You will seek after the attitude and the character of God. Now let's look at that word seek and that definition for the word seek. It means to attempt or desire to obtain something. And then it also means to ask for something from someone. So let's see this. When Jesus says, hey, we got to be seeking God and seeking his kingdom, seeking his way above everything else, what it means is there should be a desire in me for that. And then every day I should be attempting to live within the character of God. I should be attempting, making an attempt to live in the ways of God. I should be making that attempt. And not just am I desiring it and I attempting it, I am also asking God to add his super into my natural so that I can actually live it. So I'm desiring it, I'm attempting it, and then I'm asking God for it. And why we need to reset our seek is because what we will see in our tomorrow often comes from what we seek in our today. And if I'm not seeking the right things today, I might not see the right things in my tomorrow. This is why it's so important that you reset your seek on a daily basis. Because listen, you can't live off of what you were seeking 10 years ago. You can't live off of what you were seeking last year. No, we have to reset our seek. Why? Because in my tomorrow, I'm going to see what I am seeking in my today. And that's why I love this quote, and we've been talking about it a little bit in this series, and that is the quote from Richie Norton that says, every sunset is an opportunity to reset. Every sunset is an opportunity for us to reset. What does this quote remind us of? This quote reminds us of the opportunity and the importance of doing something daily. Everybody say daily. See, it's about daily seeking. This is why we reset our seek, because it's daily seeking. It's every day asking God and every day attempting to be like God. John Maxwell says it this way. He says, you'll never change your life until you change something you do daily. The secret of your success is found in your daily routine. Everybody say daily. We have to understand the importance of daily. Your daily routine, your daily seeking after God. After all, Jesus said it was the most important thing that we would do in this life. Now, when we're talking about daily, we need to understand that God is a daily God. He's a daily God. He's the same as Destiny said a moment ago, yesterday, today, forever. God is the same, and he shows up every day. God does not live here to meet with you on Sunday. He's daily. He wants to be with you every day, right? He desires relationship. How many of you know relationship is a daily thing? I can't just show up every week and have a conversation with my wife. No, it's daily, right? There's a relationship. Relationship is daily. God is a daily God. And there's a man by the name of David in the Bible. And David was the greatest king in Israel. That was God's people in the Old Testament. And God actually says this about David. He says, this is a guy who's after my own heart. He's after my own way of being and my own way of living. And this is what David writes in Psalm 68, 19. He says, praise be to the Lord, to God our Savior, who daily bears our burdens. This is what David understood about God, is that God doesn't show up occasionally to bear my burden. God shows up daily to bear my burden. God doesn't just show up on the holidays to be good to me. God shows up every day to be good to me. And this is what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11. Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you. What this shows us right here is that this isn't like a one-time thing. This isn't that you come to Jesus one time and now all of a sudden something happens and now you get this yoke that's easy and you get to live the rest of your life with this easy yoke. What Jesus is giving us here is an invitation to keep on coming to him day after day. Because he says, let me teach you. Man, I mean, how awesome would it be if you could come to church for one Sunday, I could teach you everything you would ever need to live life God's way, and I mean, you could go out and you could accomplish it. No, you can't do that. The same way that Jesus understands, you got to keep coming to me whenever you are tired, whenever you are weary, whenever you feel, keep on coming back, and let me teach you my ways, because I'm humble and gentle at heart, Jesus says, and you will find rest for your souls. Watch, Jesus says, you'll find it. Let me teach you. Keep coming back and you're going to find rest. He didn't say, come to me once and I will give you rest for the rest of your days. He says, come to me, let me teach you. And as you are with me and as I am teaching you and as you are walking with me, you are going to discover this rest. You are going to find this rest because you are going to connect yourself with me and you're going to begin to walk with me every single day. Jesus says, for my yoke is easy to bear and the burden I give you is light. We have to understand this is God's invitation to each and every one of us to bear our burdens. Friends, you are not alone. You do not have to do this life by yourself. Jesus gives us very clear imagery. He says, come to me and I will yoke myself with you. That's the thing that the oxen wear. Two oxen in the field, the yoke is what ties them together. Jesus says, I will yoke myself with you. I'm not just going to hold your hand and let you go. I'm going to yoke myself with you. We are going to be tied together. We are going to be connected. This is God's invitation to you to let you know you don't have to do it by yourself. God wants to do it with you. God wants to help you. But we have to ask him. Jesus says, come to me. You have to come to me and you have to ask me. It's part of our daily seeking. See, God is not going to bear a burden that we don't give him. God's not going to bear a burden that we don't invite him to bear. But instead, the scriptures say, listen, you can come to him. You can go to God and you can ask him, God, I need help bearing this burden. And David told you the kind of God that he is, that he will come and he will bear your burdens every single day. But we have to invite him. We have to ask. This is part of our seeking. Our daily seeking is that we would say, God, I need you to help me bear this heavy burden that I'm carrying right now. And when you ask, God's faithful to come and bear it with you. But in our daily seeking, I should not just have daily asking. I also have to have this daily attempting, because that's what the word means. I don't just have daily asking. I'm not just asking God to take care of everything in my life. No, there's this daily attempting that every single day I should be attempting, that I should be making an effort that I should be making my very best effort and that I should do that every single day. Luke chapter 9, Jesus says to the crowd, he says, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way, take up your cross. There, that word is again. Say it with me. Say daily. You must take up your cross daily and follow me. What's Jesus say? Jesus says, hey, listen, if you want to be my follower, then what you're going to have to do is you're going to have to give up your own way every day. Now, if anybody has found any way to make that easy, please come talk to me after service. I would love to hear that. Give up your opinions. Give up your way. Giving up your way, he says, this is what you got to do. You got to give up your way every day. But not only that, you have to renew your commitment to the leadership and the lordship of Christ every day by taking up your cross. And then you have to set your direction to follow him and follow his way every single day. So every day, daily, I am attempting to give up my own way. Every day, I'm attempting to renew my commitment to the lordship of Christ. And every day, I am setting my direction to follow him and follow his ways. I am doing it every single day. Now, here's what I can tell you, that there is a compound effect in daily seeking. There's a compound effect. Darren Hardy wrote a book entitled Compound Effect, and this is the way he described compound effect. He said, the compound effect is the principle of reaping huge rewards from a series of small, smart choices. The compound effect. That you would reap huge rewards from a series of small, smart choices. Now, the huge reward for us as Christ followers, the huge reward for us on this earth is living an abundant life. That you would be able to live in an overflowing fullness. That your life would be overflowing with peace and overflowing with joy and overflowing with power and overflowing with patience and overflowing with kindness and overflowing with self-control, that your life would be overflowing with purpose. That is for us the huge reward. It is living the abundant life, but the abundant life comes from consistently making small, smart choices again and again. It comes from every day denying myself my own way, taking up my cross, renewing my commitment to the lordship of Jesus Christ in my life, and then following him and his way every single day. The way that we like to say that around here is we say it this way, that your gain is always going to be found in your again. Your gain is going to be found in your again. It's the power of the compound effect, that you are going to get a gain whenever you do something again. Now, there's two types of agains that we looked at, I think, in week one. And we said there's the again of resilience, and then there's the again of repetition. There's the again of resilience. That's whenever you get up again, when you believe again, when you engage again, when you forgive again, when you try again, when you pray again. It's just when you decide to get up off the mat, life knocks you down, you say, I'm not going to stay down. I'm going to get up again. That's where your gain. Your gain is in the again of resilience. But it's not just in the again of resilience. It's also in the again of repetition. It's just whenever you do what you know you need to do one more time. When you just read your Bible again. When you just do it again. When you prayed yesterday, but then you pray again today. It's just you doing what you need to do one more time. It's the again of repetition. And if we do not reset our seek, here's what happens. If we do not daily reset our seek, then we're going to be living off of yesterday's prayers and yesterday's performance. If we do not reset our seek today, asking and attempting, then we are going to be living off of yesterday's prayers and yesterday's performance. Now, you may be thinking, well, man, it's been a long time since I've prayed, and I haven't been attempting really well. Okay, well, guess what? Then you need to reset. You need the again of resilience. You just need to get back up. You just need to get back in the game. You need to decide today, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to start praying again. You know what I'm going to do today? I'm going to get up again. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to ask God for something. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to actually fix this thing in my life. You just need the again of resilience. But maybe you have been. Maybe you look back over your shoulder, and for the last week and the last month and the last year, man, you've been asking God consistently for things, and you've been doing your very best to live life God's way and to please Him. Well, guess what? Then you need the again of repetition. You just need to get back up and do it again. Because if we don't, what are we doing? We're living off of yesterday's prayer and off of yesterday's performance. Whether it was good or bad, hear me, we still need to reset. That's why Jesus told us when He taught us how to pray. What did Jesus pray in Matthew chapter 6? He said, give us today our daily. Say it with me again. Say daily.
Daily.
Give us today our daily bread. Now, when Jesus was teaching His followers this prayer, and it's a very short prayer, you found in Matthew chapter 6. It's called the Lord's Prayer, and Jesus was teaching His followers how to pray. And this was one of the sins He says, so give us today our daily bread. Now, the people that He was teaching this to, they would have had a concept of this, because whenever God's people were coming out of Egypt, they had been slaves in Egypt for over 400 years. A guy by the name of Moses goes into Egypt, convinces the leader of Egypt, the Pharaoh there, to let God's people go. Moses leads them out of Egypt, and he's leading them towards the promised land, but they get out in what we call the wilderness for 40 years. And through a series of events, and we won't go into all the details, they end up, and they're out there in this wilderness land for 40 years. And for 40 years, God miraculously feeds His people. But now here's the thing. They didn't know how that was going to happen when they got there. They're looking around talking about, what are we going to eat? I mean, we had all kinds of stuff back there in Egypt. We had leeks and onions. There's all kinds of good stuff back there in Egypt. But now we're out here in the wilderness, and we're looking around, and there's no mango trees, and we don't have any. Well, what are we going to eat out here in the wilderness? And this is what God speaks to Moses. In Exodus chapter 16, He says, look, I'm going to rain down food from heaven for you. Each day the people can go out and pick up as much food as they need for that day. Say daily.
Daily.
Okay, for that day. They can pick up as much as they need for that day. I will test them in this to see whether or not they will follow My instructions. Now, this food that God gives, we call it manna. And every morning, this substance appeared on the ground. And they would go out, and they were instructed to gather this substance. And with this substance, they could make a thing like bread that they would be able to eat. And every day when they would go gather this substance, they had to do it every day. And God says, look, I'm going to see if they'll obey. And you know what some people did. He said, gather as much as you need for this day. But you know what some people did? They said, they're going to outsmart God. Why am I going to have to wake up early, put my robe on and my slippers, and come out here and get, I'm just going to get some for tomorrow too. I mean, you know, I'm just going to take a little extra. Well, what they found out is when they took a little extra for the next day, it rotted overnight. I said, maggots were all up in their tent and the smell was horrible. God said, you'll only do that once. But then there were also people who they were just going to have a few extra cups of coffee and just kind of sit around their tent and wait till a little bit later. And they strolled out a little bit later to get it. And guess what? The sun had burned it up. Because God said, you're going to have to go out and get it while the getting's good. Because if you don't get it when I tell you to get it, by the time the sun comes up, it's going to be burned up. And there's not going to be enough for you. So here Jesus is talking to His Jewish counterparts. He says, hey, this is how you should pray. Lord, give us today our daily bread. And they're like, oh, okay. Like God gave our ancestors in the wilderness daily bread for 40 years every day. And if you're a Bible scholar, you're like, it wasn't every day. He didn't do it on the Sabbath, and he had to get twice. Okay, all right, just go with it. And so every single day, they had to go out and they had to get the stuff up to use for bread. And here's what we see in the story as Jesus praying, saying, give us today our daily bread. With this story being in their mind, they understood. And here's what we take away from this. Is when it comes to these things of seeking God, listen, you can't be lazy and you can't be greedy. You just got to be daily. You can't be lazy and think, oh, well, I will get to it later. Tomorrow, next week. You know what? It's already so close to 2023. I'll just wait until January of next year, right? We can't be lazy, but we can't be greedy. We can't think, oh, you know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna go on Sunday, like I'm gonna like sing really hard, I'm gonna pray a lot, right? I'm gonna go get prayer, I'm just gonna stack up for the week. It's just gonna last me, right? And then what we find is by Thursday, it's gone. So we can't be greedy. And we can't be lazy. What we need to be and what God is calling us to is daily, which brings the importance that we must reset our seek every day. It's everyday asking and it's everyday attempting. It's everyday asking and it's everyday action in our lives. We'll read a couple scriptures that are gonna encourage you. As we move into this week, resetting our seek, here's what Jesus said in Luke chapter 11. He said, so if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? He says, if you being sinful, you know how to give good gifts to your kids. How much more so will your perfect heavenly Father give you the Holy Spirit when you ask him? Now, last week, what did we talk about? We talked about peace. We talked about perspective. We talked about power. You need to understand all three of those things come from the Holy Spirit. When we seek God, we're seeking his peace. We're seeking his perspective. We're seeking his power. It's the Holy Spirit that brings all of those things into our life. So whenever Jesus is saying, he's saying, listen, whenever you pray and you ask God for the Holy Spirit, don't you know he's going to give it to you? So ask God every day for peace. Ask God every day for his perspective and his wisdom. Ask God every day for his supernatural power that you might be able to fulfill your purpose. So we're asking God every day. I'm daily seeking and asking God and knowing that he is a good father and he will give good gifts to me. But I'm not just asking, I'm also attempting. I'm attempting to do what? I'm attempting to live out my purpose. So I'm asking God for what I need to fulfill my purpose, and then I'm attempting, doing my very best to live out my purpose on the earth. What is that? Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, he says, you are the light of the world. Come on, tell your neighbor, you're the light of the world. Tell him. Say, that's what Jesus said. You're the light of the world. Don't argue with me. We're in church. You're the light of the world. Jesus said it, you are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. That's who you are. Jesus says, no one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your Father in heaven. She says, this is your purpose this week. It's to be the light of the world. It is to let your good deeds, to let your good attempt to seek after him and his kingdom, to let it shine out into the world that people might be able to take notice of who you are and of what you do. You are the light of the world. But we will never have what we need, and we will never do what we need to do if we do not reset our seek. We have to reset our seek every single day. Seeking God, His kingdom, His way above everything else. Not living off of yesterday's prayers and yesterday's performance, but seeking God for today. For today, on Monday, and on Tuesday, and on Wednesday. Every day asking, every day attempting, every day asking for His Holy Spirit to come and give me what I need, and every day attempting to be who I need to be so that His light might shine through my life, that people might see my deeds and praise the Father in heaven. See, whether you are in the valley of despair or you are on the mountaintop of success, we all need the same thing: reset. We all need the same thing. We all need to hit the reset button on our seek. Daily asking, daily attempting, daily seeking. And that's why I'm so excited about September. Man, if you were not here on Wednesday night, this past Wednesday was amazing. I want to invite you to come this Wednesday night, because what are we doing? We're just setting time aside to seek God in September. Wednesday nights at 6:30. That's what we're doing. A short little teaching on prayer. We have some personal moments for prayer and worship and reflection. We have prayer leaders available. If you have a specific need that you want somebody to pray with you about, somebody's going to be here to pray with you. We're going to have corporate prayer. We're going to be praying for things and believing God for things. It was awesome on Wednesday. I want you to be here. I want you to say, you know what I want to do in September? I want to seek God first. And whenever you put God first, guess what that does? It will always inconvenience you in some way. You're like, but man, Wednesday, like, that's my favorite TV show. Oh, but Wednesday, we normally do this. That's normally the night that I go out with my friends. I'm like, she says, the most important thing you do is to seek God and His kingdom. I'm inviting you to come seek God with us. Let's do it together as a community. Let's don't just do it individually. Let's do it corporately. Let's do it together. Let's do it as the body of Christ this month in September, every Wednesday night. Let's show up. Let's seek God. Every day asking, every day attempting. Amen. Every Sunday here at North Point, we close out our service with a lead acrostic, because before we can advance, we got to lead ourselves well. And that just means, what are we learning? What are we evaluating? What are we applying? And then doing it again. This week, what is our learn this Sunday? Our learn is this: I need to reset my seek daily. I need to reset my seek daily. I can't live off of yesterday's prayers or yesterday's performance. The evaluation is this: is my prayer or performance yesterday impacting my asking or attempting today? Be honest about that, because here's what will happen. I didn't pray yesterday. I didn't pray last week. I didn't pray last month. I haven't really prayed a whole lot in 2022. And you know what? I really haven't been living the way that I really want to live. And so what happens is that shame and condemnation comes there, and it's like, you're not worthy of praying, and you're not worthy of trying to do better, because look how bad you've been doing the last few months. And yesterday's prayer and performance, it will impact today. Don't let that happen to you. Or you can come and say, man, I've been crushing it in 2022, man. I mean, I've been... My daily Bible reading plan is just, it's all checks for me. I mean, look at every box. Check, 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 check. I've been praying every day. I mean, I've been killing it in 2022. Okay, well, guess what? Don't let yesterday's victory rob you from what you need to do today. Put another check in there, right? Keep praying. Don't let yesterday affect your today. That's our evaluation. Is yesterday, whether it was good or bad, doesn't matter. Are we going to let yesterday impact our today? Here's our application. Ask God every day for help. Do something every day to help. Very simple. Ask God every day. Ask God every day. God, help me. Holy Spirit, come. I need peace. I need perspective. I need power. Ask God every day to help. And then every day, do something to help. Attempt to do something that's going to help you be more like God, to let your light shine. The D is always the same. Let's just do it again. Do it again and again and again and again and again.
Thank you for listening. To hear more messages like this one, make sure to subscribe and share our podcast. For more content from NCC and how to get connected, visit ncc.team.